Also appreciate everyone that shared, and also the young people singing. I truly enjoyed that, and God bless you for that. This morning, does anybody know the topic I'm going to be speaking on? Anyone?
Our wives.
That's right. Remember last time I preached, I told you I'm going to speak to the wives the next time. Did you notice there's a lot missing? Yours went out. Well, my heart is to encourage them anyhow. Maybe we can start with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I do want to thank you, Lord, this morning for your goodness and your loving kindness to us, Lord. Thank you for your mercy this morning, Lord, by allowing us to gather here, by allowing us to have able bodies, Lord, to come and gather and worship you this morning. Thank you, Father, for this freedom that we have. Lord, we don't know how long it'll last. You do. But, Father, I just pray that you prepare our hearts for the things that lie before us and help us to, as Caleb exhorted us today, to give thanks. I pray, Lord, that as we go on through life with a fresh reminder here, Lord, of just giving thanks, I pray we could give thanks even through our discouraging moments in life. Father, I do pray that you bless our time here. I do want to ask you, Lord, to be with all those that are sick. Lord, as there's many that have sickness, I just pray, Father, for your peace to be upon them, that you would touch them, Lord, and bring healing. Give patience, Lord, as think of the mothers nursing the children, Lord, taking care of them, and the much time and sacrifice and patience that goes into that, Lord. And I just pray, would you bless them all, Lord? And do thank you, Father, again. I pray for a clear mind. I pray for your Holy Spirit anointing here, Lord, afresh, that I could speak the things that would glorify you and edify the hearers. Lord, I pray that our sisters or wives could be encouraged this morning to continue to press onward, to continue, Lord, to be faithful, and for it is well-pleasing to you, God. And so we do thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for each one here. And bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I guess, I was planned to try to encourage our wives this morning. And I got a lot of support. You know, since all the men knew that that was the topic, you should have seen all the support that I had. All the notes of, you should touch this topic and that. No, they didn't. But no, as it is a serious responsibility. And Lord bless you as you endeavor to fulfill it. I was thinking last time I preached, just as a quick recap, I spoke to you as men, us as husbands, leaders of the home. We're called to lead. We're called to be watchmen of our home. We should know what's coming in and going out of our homes. And we must do it prayerfully and in humility. Our direction, our leadership, it should bring rest to our homes, just as it did in Israel when Joshua led them. They had rest. It should do the same thing for our homes. And also that when we give direction, it should be with expectation. And if it's not met, it should have consequences. And then the other thought that I had shared with us was, if you don't like the fruit that's coming from your home, then we need to stop and we need to find the seed that's producing it. We've got to find the seed that produces the fruit that we don't like. And I want us today again, you as sisters, I want you to keep that in your minds as well. If we don't like the fruit that's coming from our home, then we need to find the seed. Find the seed, and that's how we can change it. And you're going to have to excuse me today, because a lot of times when I preach, I say we and us. Well, I'm not a wife or a sister, so it might sound a little funny at times, but. So I was just going to read a couple verses here in Titus chapter 2. I want to encourage us with the word here. I'm just going to read the first five verses. I think I'll stop there. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I was just thinking of that last verse that we read there, that the word of God be not blasphemed, and how important it is that this is right, that we get this right, because it brings glory to God when we are in our place. As men and women, we are in our place, it brings glory to God. And when we're out of our place, it says, gives an opportunity that the word of God be blasphemed. And so I want to encourage us today, as you as sisters, as your keepers of the home, it's your place to do it with joy. And to see it as God is well pleased with you as you serve in this way, in producing these godly character traits. The aged women, it says, they should be teachers of good things. And I was thinking, teaching things that endure. Teaching things that endure. And then we all can see in society around us, we can see that when this is out of place, it's chaotic. You can look up statistics if you want to, and where the parents are out of their place, the woman's out of her place, the man's out of his place, and the devastation that it brings to a home, the confusion, the chaos. We can learn from society around us when they're not doing things God's way. We can see that there's some major consequences for that. And so I hope we can be encouraged to just be practical and look at some of those things. And the other aspect I was thinking of, you know, sometimes you as mothers, you probably think and you feel sometimes that all your efforts and hard work that you put into a family goes unnoticed. Have you ever felt that way before? Probably not, but I imagine you, more likely, at one point in time, some of you have, anyhow. Because it's a lot of sleepless nights with sick children. Just in simple house cleaning, you put order to the home, and then you have, maybe your husband comes home or the boys come in, and all of a sudden it's just like, I just cleaned that. It just, you feel unappreciated. I want to encourage you that God does not, those things don't go unnoticed. Your heart of sacrifice and service is not unnoticed before God. It sometimes goes unnoticed by us as men. And may God do a deeper work in the hearts of us as men to be more sensitive, because it doesn't have to go unnoticed. We can be there and be supportive and be encouraging. So I don't want you thinking that I'm being hard on you when I share some practical things, possibly. Those areas of sacrifice in your life, they don't go unnoticed. They're much appreciated. And God bless you for doing those. I hope that you can all be encouraged that as you see that fulfilling your place your place as a wife, a mother, a woman, as you fulfill your place, your position in the role that God has called you to serve in, it is well-pleasing to the Lord. He is pleased with that kind of fruit. So I just want to encourage you to not be discouraged when your husband, your children fail to say thank you at times for a lot of things that you do that we take for granted. God sees all those things, and I want to encourage you as men to be more thankful, to be more courteous, and show your appreciation. Because you sisters, the role you fill is in fact a high calling in the kingdom of God. It's a high calling. I was thinking how, thinking of a virtuous woman. I hope you understand that as you endeavor to be a virtuous woman, that you are a crown. You're just not a nobody. Even though sometimes you might feel like you're just not worth a whole lot. But as you endeavor to be a virtuous woman, you are a crown to your husband. You are a crown to your husband. And my wife's not here, so I can speak freely. And just speaking of a crown, I enjoy it when my wife is beside me. I'm not ashamed to have her stand beside me. She's a crown to me. I appreciate her. I'm not ashamed of what others think of her. Does that make sense? She's a crown. She means something to me. Even when maybe, you know, struggles are difficult in your life. People don't appreciate you. Just want to encourage you that you are a crown to your husband. And when I see a virtuous woman, and think about this, when I see a virtuous woman, I see the power of God. Because it takes the power of God to be a godly, virtuous woman. It does. It takes that in your life. Think of it being a testament for God, a testimony for Him. It takes humility and the fear of God to see things in His way. You know, sometimes maybe you feel discouraged, maybe you feel unappreciated, but it takes humility. It takes the fear of God, that His ways are right. He established this. This wasn't the doings of man. And then it takes the fear of God to believe that, to see things in His way. God bless you as you endeavor to be a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman in Proverbs 12, verse 4, it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And there you have two pictures. You can be a crown, you can be that precious jewel, or you have the ability and the power to be rottenness to his bones. To where he's ashamed to be, to have you at his side. And I had to think of different areas in becoming rottenness to the bones. Is in Proverbs 31, I think it's in verse 11, it talks about, or maybe it's, might have the right verse, but it's in Proverbs 31. It talks about the man, he safely trusts in her. And it says that, and he's not afraid of any spoil. He's not afraid that she's going to bring any damage. And I was thinking of keeping the home and spending money just in our everyday living together. A virtuous woman, she's a crown to men, and we safely trust in her. We're not living fearfully that this might happen, that might happen, or, you know, many, many situations can come to your mind. We safely trust in her. And also, I was thinking of, I guess, back to the rottenness of the bones. I was thinking, I have witnessed relationships between men and women to where the woman is clearly out of her place. The man might say something, and she has belittling comments. She has degrading comments. Just nothing supportive of her husband. Those things make as rottenness to the bones. It's just being simply opposite of being virtuous. Another aspect of shame, Proverbs 11:22 is talking about, I was thinking in aspect of a virtuous woman, but of one not being virtuous. And it says here, is as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. And so I was thinking of rottenness to the bones when we're without discretion. Well, it's important as husband and wife, we're together and we have the same vision, because otherwise we end up being without discretion and it ends up being rottenness to the bones. And so I have a question, just thinking of you as sisters, mothers, are you satisfied with your home and its fruit? You know, thinking of the men leading out and being in our place and doing our part as doing your part as a mother, as a wife, are you satisfied with your home and its fruit? If you're not, you can't be ignorant. You can't just ignore it. But we need to get serious. We need to take action. Because I have never found that waywardness corrects itself without being given direction to consider. Waywardness will never correct itself without being given some direction to consider. So we can't just ignore things and hope they go away. Also, there's another aspect in our homes. We're not happy with the fruit that we have. I have heard this various times, and I'm not saying here. I'm just speaking of men and women's relationships, how it's always his fault. It's always the man's fault. Just always blaming somebody for why I'm not happy with whatever the situation is. So many times the men are blamed when something's wrong. And you know what? Probably, oftentimes, it's probably right as far as looking at it and seeing that really that is the problem. There's a good chance that that could be that way. But I had to think of, in 2 Samuel, thinking of Abigail and Nabal. It says there that David, he sent his men to get some supplies from Nabal. And Nabal, I'm just going to paraphrase here, he basically belittled him and degraded him and sent those men on their way and gave them nothing. And then one of the men went and told his wife Abigail and said, listen, this just happened. Nabal just did this to David. And everybody knew David's reputation. He just did this, and we got to do something about this. And she right away knew that Nabal crossed the line in that aspect. She made intercession for him. It says that he was a churlish husband. Churlish there is cruel, just mean, crude. And he did what he did there, but I had to think of Abigail. As a woman in her place, she went and sent a gift to David. She went herself and actually took it. While she was there, I don't think we can read that she belittled her husband. I don't think we can. She made intercession for him, for her whole family, and then she turned and went back. I had to think, there's a lot of opportunity was right there at hand. She could have said, he is this, he's that. You don't understand. He's worse than what you think. And here you can easily take him by going this way. And if you're okay with it, I'll just join you. You know what I'm saying? She had all kinds of opportunity. Her husband was to blame. But she was in her place. She actually interceded. I had to think of the verse that, didn't it say, charity covereth a multitude of sin, something like that? She interceded for him. And she didn't blame him. And so I want to just encourage you as sisters, even when things seem just upside down, be careful with the blaming thing. Because as she showed a heart of love, she took action and she actually covered his sin in that way and turned David away. David turned away from Nabal. He was going to go and just deal with them, but he actually turned away. And so I want to encourage us today that let's be prayerful. As Abigail interceded there, you can be intercessors as well. You can intercede in prayer. The scripture gives us much encouragement to you sisters as living a life in such a way that even your conduct will speak to the men. So I want to encourage you to have a heart of intercessory instead of a heart of blaming your men when things are not going right. And we are all flesh, and that's the first and easiest thing we want to do is, if you would have just, see, I told you, all these other little comments, it's the first thing we want to do, that's our flesh. But when we seek God and we have a heart of being one, we can actually put to death our flesh and let the Spirit of God come out, the fruit of the Spirit. But Abigail there, I believe she was a picture of a virtuous woman. And God, you know, and if women find themselves in an ungodly situation, you know, God dealt with Nabal. He took care of that. Abigail didn't have to. She didn't have to go to David and says, yeah, he's a very ungodly man, and the right thing to do would be to move him out. She didn't have to do that. God took care of Nabal. but it also doesn't give us an account that she went back home praying that God would just take Nabal and do away with him either. But she had shown herself as a woman who knew what authority was. She had shown herself as a woman who knew what intercessory was. She was a wise woman. She was a virtuous woman. And so I want to encourage you to have a heart of intercessory, interceding, being very prayerful. I had to think, can't remember exactly how that comment or that quote went, but it was something to the effect that behind every strong man is a praying woman. And so for us as husbands, behind every strong man is a praying woman. And you as sisters, as you're praying, God hears that. God hears that. He gives wisdom. He gives direction. All too often, the thing that I see is that men, I think I addressed this back with us as men, that we're slow. We're slow to step up to the calling that God has for us. And when we're slow, it is a natural response. When a woman sees that something needs to go this way, it's a natural response for you to want to step up and feel that. That is natural. But men, let's be careful that we don't put our wives in that position, because it's not right for us to. And they're also not called to lead out, called to understand authority how Abigail understood it. Because in our homes, if authority is out of order, our homes will be out of order. So if that's one aspect, if there's fruit in your home that you don't like, that there's one aspect that we can look. If there's an authority issue, if our home's out of order, we can check that in our hearts and lives and see where we're at with it. Because that has a direct reflection on the home. And that is also a natural response for a woman to step up. In Genesis, we have that scripture that tells us that that the woman's desire will be toward the man. And really what that's saying is she's desiring to have authority. It's not, I don't think it's insinuating that she wants to be under authority. It's referring to she wants to be in authority, to have authority over, to lead out. And you see this in society. In 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, it says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And verse 13 says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. So he, as he was teaching this, he went back to creation and solidified it that way. But the word usurp means to dominate, to be in authority. So I want to encourage us that we have the right perspective of that, being in authority, because without it, our homes will be out of authority, and will be out of order. And that'll reflect to how our children respond, the dads. Many times you as wives and mothers have a direct reflection on how the children respond. Is your husband, is he a man that you look forward to seeing at the end of the day when he goes to work? Do you instill that to your children that, oh, dad's home? Or is it, oh, dad's home? Or is it, hey, daddy's here, and the little ones run for the door? You as mothers can instill that to your children. It's you elevate dad in their eyes. He means something. but when you don't do that, when you don't have the right respect, when you don't have the right heart of submission to your husband, you have a hard time doing that. You know, and it speaks of the letting, in 1 Corinthians it says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And I was just thinking of women being out of order, being out of their place. But I was just to flip it around here to us as men. I hope that that verse, that you see it a little differently than what I just shared it to you. Instead of, women, y'all just be quiet and just, instead of seeing that, I hope you see the seriousness of being able to teach and direct your wives, your homes. If they can't speak here, if they're not part of it in vocal conversation here, and it says, let them go ask their husbands at home, and you're not doing your part, there's something wrong. There's something really, really wrong. And so for us as husbands, I hope you see the high calling of being able to teach, to guide, and to direct. Many times, women, they want to understand things. Like, explain this to me. I want to understand this. What are you going to do about this? How would you see this? Okay? And us as men are like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. That'll all come out in the wash at the end. You see the difference? Men are a little more like that. Women are more detail-oriented. We might not be quite so brash as they all, but you understand what I'm saying. There's a big difference. But it's up to us to do the teaching. So if we don't have a vision, how are you going to teach? How are you going to lead? Some of you young men just got engaged. You better get that figured out. Because it's a high calling and you're responsible. You better figure that one out if you don't, if you didn't already have it figured out. Because as men, we can make it easier for our wives to actually be in their place. And it is a crying shame when I see men lording their authority over their wife. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. Ephesians tells us, it gives us the picture of a man and a woman. A marriage analogy of Christ and the church. So if you got the problem of lording, then I want to encourage you to go to that scripture and then go to the Lord of Lords and see who he is. See how he lived. See what he sacrificed. See what he gave. Because that's our example, to lay our lives down for our wives. As Christ did for the church, it removes the lording factor. And so we have to have hearts of compassion. But as Christ did that for the church, which one of you as believers has a difficult time following the ways of Christ Jesus when he is in the forefront of your mind? We don't, do we? Because we know it's right. We know he already went that way. He lived it for us. We can follow much easier, can't we? And so it is in husband-wife relationships. So men, we need to make sure that that's in place. another aspect of... I was thinking of how Abigail was under authority. She was in submission. She was one that was interceding. She was a virtuous woman. And she had all the opportunity to start blaming. You know, and as I shared earlier, a lot of times, you know, men are at fault. But all too often, we do this blaming thing. When you stop and think about it, every time you want to do the blaming thing, go back in your life and see, was I in my place? Where am I at with intercessory? Where am I at with showing support? There's just so much in our own lives we can look. And then finally, and then we'll see where we can fall short at and we stop blaming. But I want to encourage us to stop blaming each other. Blaming doesn't build anything. But let's inspire each other. My wife inspires me in many ways. Whether it's just simply diligence in keeping the house in order. Her diligence in getting up and meeting with the Lord. The sacrifice. Sometimes I drive, when I work, I work different hours sometimes. But the sacrifice she puts into... it was a week ago Sunday when our youngest son got sick. I mean, he was just running around like an energetic boy, and all of a sudden, 2 hours later, he was down. That was it. And we've dealt with all kinds of sleepless nights, you know. But when I see the faithfulness, the steadfastness, the sacrifice, that's inspiring. That's inspiring to me. You as women, you can inspire your men just by simple faithfulness. and oftentimes, that changes. Your faithfulness will change the direction, the heart of the man. Oftentimes. It's much more effective than nagging. It's much more effective than nagging. You can nag all you want. You can always be at your man saying, "We got to do this. We should do this. We got to stop." You can do that all you want, but that's very ineffective. It doesn't build wholesome relationships. It actually becomes very annoying. So it doesn't do any building and pulling together. Let's be praying. Because there's a way that we can communicate without nagging. You as sisters and women, you can communicate without nagging. There's just kind ways you can do that. You seek the Lord and how to do that. There's ways to do that, that it doesn't come across in a nagging way. Oftentimes, asking questions to make people think. I found that's a good way to communicate. And sometimes as men, I don't know how each one of you are, but sometimes as men, you feel threatened maybe when questions come your way, or when you feel like your wife's maybe nagging, you just feel threatened. Men are that way. But when you ask a question to you sisters, you ask the question, it creates him to come up with an answer. It doesn't overrun him. It puts him back in authority. It helps build that. So just try to learn how to communicate without nagging. God will bless you for that. Let's not be blaming each other, but let's be inspiring to each other. Because how we respond will have an effect. And I was thinking of Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire come through, it is a tree of life. I was thinking about hope deferred. When hope is all gone, you feel hopeless, discouraged. It makes the heart sick. But I was thinking of our response and how we communicate. And this is for all of us. How we communicate, we can build up or we can tear down. So if someone does something well, hey, brother, thank you. You did a good job. God bless you for that. I was encouraged. That's building up. We don't have to go to the level of flattery, build up. Or we can make comments of, you know, you could have done it this way and that way, and it'd probably been better if you did it. We just kind of quench hope. We just kind of quench desire. And for us in our homes, you know, you as wives communicating with your husbands, why'd you do that for? What are you thinking? Or you as husbands, like, I mean, supper's not ready. I worked hard all day. Well, she did too. But it's not in her place to say I did too. You understand? Our speech, the way we talk, our communication has an effect. And if we're not careful, it'll defer hope and make the heart sick. And it just takes all desire away from even trying. Just takes the desire away from trying. Let's be in a way that we encourage people. Another thing is, as husband and wife relationships, I was thinking of having a vision. Many times, and you can just, if you ever observe people, and I often counsel with people and talk to people, and so I see it a lot, but many times you can see if a man and a woman are on the same page. You can see it by the way they respond to each other, whether it's verbal communication, whatever it is. In a lot of ways, you can see that. It's evident. And I want to encourage us, have the same vision. Just because the men are leading out doesn't remove you as sisters and women, mothers, from having a vision. We're called to have a vision. And I would encourage us to be together on our vision. Maybe simply a vision for a godly home. A vision for we're lacking here in this area of life. We need some order here. But have it together. It can be strengthened and prosper. Because if we don't have the same vision, it will bring confusion. That's what it brings. If we don't have the same vision, it'll bring confusion. And oftentimes it's evident. Oftentimes that becomes evident when the husband leaves for work, and then all of a sudden there's a different set of rules we go by. You know, we have a vision. This is how I want my home to function. And then off to work you go. but then it's not upheld, it's not supported. That will bring confusion. Because you got to remember that even though our children are dear to us, even though we love them very much, and they have a way of pulling on our heartstrings and sometimes manipulating, and they get their way at times. They've got a way of doing that. Even through all that, we didn't marry our children. Husband and wife are supposed to become one. So let's have the same vision and bring our children up with that together. We can't let our children come between us. And also, when things don't go right, I want to encourage us in another aspect is, if we want to succeed in training God-fearing children, things don't go right, we can't lay blame on our children. We take the blame. We're the authority. We're the ones that are going to give an account. We take that blame. And so if you don't have the same vision, mothers, if you don't have that same vision and things aren't working out right, you can't blame your children. You can't blame your husband. We got to get together on this thing. We can't lay blame on our children. And our children, they must feel loved when we correct them. They got a choice in how to respond, but be together when you give direction. if you don't have the same vision, people will perish that have no vision. If you don't have the same vision, I just want to encourage you as husband and wife. Stop. Just stop. Have a meeting. You need a meeting. You need a serious meeting. We need the same vision for our home to be a home of peace, of joy, fruitfulness, in godliness. We need the same vision. Just stop. We need a meeting. You got to talk. You got to figure out how you're going to get there. You got to figure out where you're going and how you plan to get there. I was thinking of, I think there was a, it might have been a counselor, but he gave advice, and he was giving advice to couples. And for him, he had certain hours he used, but he said typically the rule of thumb is 9 to 9, okay? And here's what he said. I had to ponder it a bit. But he was talking about marriage, and marriage is being very stressful and getting more stressful. You need to talk. You need to work things out. He says, don't do it before 9 a.m. and don't do it after 9 p.m. He said, it can vary on your home and your hours that you are awake. But he said, here's why. He said, before 9 a.m., you're waking up. Your mind is not just really engaged in a lot of deep conversation mode of serious issues. He said, and after 9 p.m., it disengages again. He said, so most marriage troubles that get out of control happen outside those hours. You worked hard, you're tired. Oh, we need to talk about something, and it's pretty serious. Oh, and it blows up and don't go quite right. Not because you're necessarily against the whole thing, but it's because you're not in the right frame of mind physically to handle it. Now, I think the Lord can help us through anything. My wife and I, we really didn't use that rule of thumb. I just heard that the other day and I thought that was interesting. But if you know that that's a struggle for the both of you, choose appropriate times. Have your meeting. You need to have a vision together for us to prosper. It won't work otherwise. It won't work otherwise. I was thinking also of backing up a little bit and how we respond. I was thinking of, it can be more so a tendency on the women's part. When things aren't going right, he's not in his place, this is upside down. It can be a tendency where you talk to sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so and pretty soon you're just talking to other people. That's devastating. That's very devastating to a marriage. Now, I'm not saying there's not a point in time where you confide in a sister to get some understanding in how you fulfill your spot, but not in a way to where it's an opportunity to degrade and downplay your authority. So be careful with that. In our vision, it's important to have that together. This way, when you're out and about, you're at work, you can count on your home going on without you. You can count on your wife. You can safely trust in her. You can count on that you won't have any spoil when you get home. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. A virtuous woman. The importance of having that vision together. And oftentimes, when you have that meeting, and have them often, but oftentimes, we as men, we'll be a little sharper when we have those meetings, because sometimes our women have some insight that we don't have, and we're a little lax in an area. We're letting things slide, and they're like, that's not going to come out right when you let this little guy do that, and you know what I mean? Sometimes we as men don't see that, but when you have this meeting and you talk about vision, you talk about the things of life, we can learn from each other in that way. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Considering being on the same page with your husband, that's building. There's a lot of strength there in a home, a lot of value. Being under authority and submission, that's building a strong house. But the opposite of that will pluck it down. When we're out of our place, it'll pluck down that home. And also when our children know that in our vision together, we're divided. That's plucking it down. He leaves for work and you don't uphold. You got another standard for the children. You're plucking down your home with your own hands. So I guess I want to just encourage us to not be discouraged about where God has you, but rather be inspired to take time with your children in the things that you do. And realize that realize the value of building your home and not plucking down with your hands. It is wise to love and support and respect your husband and speak and act in such a way, not just in your words, but let your actions say the same things. And it is foolish to degrade his ideas and always think that your ways would be better. It's wise to sit down and discuss things and try to gain understanding of each other, be together in the same page. It's foolishness to just go on and live ignorantly or live intentionally separate. It's wise to be involved in what your children are involved in. It's wise to know what they're doing, not letting our children alone. You know, oftentimes that's when our children get into all kinds of mischief, is when we let them alone. But it's foolishness when we let them alone and let them figure things out. I was thinking of a woman, I read it in, I can't think of the book that I read it in anymore, but she was saying how her and another woman met every certain time of the day for a Bible study. And they let their children play in another room so they wouldn't be disturbed while they had their prayer meeting and Bible study. Her child later, years later, came and told her all the things that they did while left unattended. And they did it all the while there was a prayer meeting and a Bible study. It's foolishness for us to think that it's wise to just not be aware of what our children do. A virtuous woman. And that's for us as men as well, but I'm thinking just during the day when we're at work. The effects, how it'll affect us and our children. It's also foolish for us to become easily upset or frustrated and to blame others. And oftentimes, you know, that either affects directly in the marriage or that can affect in the way we respond to our children. But it is foolishness to be angered quickly because it says the wrath of God, or the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so let's be careful in our conduct. Let's be careful in the way we respond to each other. Let's have that vision together. And if there's something in your home that you don't like, if there's something that there's fruit there that you don't like, I want to encourage you. Find the seed. Find the seed. Because if you don't get rid of the seed, you can cut the plant down. But it's going to grow again. We got a lot of weeds sometimes at home. And you get those big old dock weeds that come up in the hayfield. I mean, they're just a sore thumb out there. Sometimes only a couple of them. You can cut it down, but he's not going to go away. They grow again. But when you pull them out by the roots, they're gone. You've got to get the seed. And so if there's something in your home you're unsatisfied with, go for the seed. Go for the seed. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Also says that her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. I had to think, that's a testimony of a virtuous woman. That's a testimony of a virtuous woman. When people know where you're at. People know where you're at together even. God bless you, and I pray that you sisters are inspired to keep on being a godly example. And if you think sometimes it's just, is it worth it? Just take a moment and look at society around you. Look at the wrecked homes, the wrecked marriages. Look at the children just running the streets. Just take a look at that. You only got to do a brief study, and you'll see that it's all worth it. It's for the King and His glory. So God bless you all.